This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Thank you for tuning us in. We appreciate it and trust the program will bless you, perhaps even challenge you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and you can reach me either through the email that's given there or through the postal address that's given there. You could also call me from there if you'd like, although I sometimes don't answer calls from people whose numbers are not in my address list because we get so many crank calls today, but you could leave a message and I could get back to you. Now, again, you can reach me the old-fashioned way for those that do not have the internet, and that's by writing to Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, today we want to continue with looking at words that are single words, descriptive of the Lord in some way. And since we have just passed Valentine's Day, I probably should have used the word love last week when, in fact, I was dealing with the Lord as the Christ or the Messiah. But that's all right. We'll do it this week. I'm a little behind because on Monday, my wife had to have an angiogram in preparation for some major back surgery that she's going to have. Thought there might be something wrong with her heart, but turns out that she had a clean bill of health, and that's good. And so now she's going to have some major back surgery probably in April. And it's not something we look forward to, but one thing we're confident of in this home is that we have a God who loves us. And we want to make sure that others understand that because many people, some of my friends that I talk with, think that God is very judgmental and they have a problem with the concept of wrath. They don't understand that God does have anger or wrath when it comes to people who reject him. After all, he created us, and we are his by the first creation. Then Adam and Eve fell and disobeyed him, and that nature of rebellion has been part of the human race ever since. And so God had a plan, and he sent his son to the cross of Calvary to bear the punishment that our sins deserved. And that was a true Valentine's Day as far as I'm concerned. Now you may say, well, why should God punish those who reject him? That's just part of life. Well, you may have problems accepting that, but I figure that God is God. And if he gets angry when people reject him, I don't want to be one of the people he's angry with. For years, I worried about whether I had things right with God because I didn't want to wake up one day on the other side, as we would say, with our bodies 6 feet under and with our souls and spirits someplace we didn't expect to be. I didn't want to be like the rich man in Luke 16, who I believe was surprised when he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. I wanted to be with the Lord, which is far better, as Paul could say. And the Lord went up into heaven, and he told us in John 14 that if he went away, he would come again and receive us unto himself. And so I wanted to be a part of those who would be received unto him if he came before I died. And I wanted to be right with God, and I want you to be right with God. And I don't really want you to get upset because God is angry with people who don't accept him as he has presented himself, because he's presented himself as a God of love. And if you get concerned about the fact that he shows anger to those who reject him, and that's really the ones he shows anger to, if you get upset with that, then you need to recognize that he's done everything in his power to save each one of us from that anger. He put the Lord on the cross to save us from that anger. Now, that may not be the way we would raise our family. That may not be the way we would do things, but that's the way God does things, and God is God. Now, I want to read with you from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, dealing with this issue of love. Beloved, John the disciple whom Jesus loves, says, "Beloved, let us love one another. for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now what he's saying is that we really don't love our brother until, first of all, we've gotten right with God and love God. And if you go on in this, in 1 John, you'll find out that those who love God love him because God first loved them. So God has extended his love to us, and he has said that he loves us. Another question is, what is our response to that going to be? And then he says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so those who want to say that God is angry, God is a master that is hard to please, they've missed out on the whole point of the gospel. God does have those attributes, but he's done everything possible to save us from the penalty that he says we deserve because of our rebellion against him. And he says that he's love, and he wants to draw us to himself. And we read in John's gospel where the Lord says, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And so he draws, but not everyone responds. Then we go on in 1 John chapter 4, and he says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us," or made known toward us, "that God sent his only begotten Son," his unique Son, "into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." And there is that statement again. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or to be the sacrifice for our sins. But really, it's the sacrifice that reconciles us to God that he's talking about here. And so he sent his Son to be the sacrifice that reconciles us to God, that puts away our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately, because again, last night, as I was preparing for this particular message, we were alerted to the fact that there was another shooting in East Lansing on the college campus there. And we have people that are constantly destroying the lives of others, either by theft or by murder or by war or by covetousness. That is in the nature of all of us. We have people that are lying to us. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people that are good and don't do those things, but basically the news is filled with that kind of thing. And God says that there is a better way, and that way starts with loving God. And you can't love God till you admit that as a sinner, you deserve eternal conscious punishment. But that as a person who understands that and understands the reality of their own heart and the things they would do if they were perhaps not willing to discipline themselves, if they did, when you begin to understand that and realize that God not only looks at the outward sins that we commit, but he looks at the heart and knows the sins that we would like to commit that we don't commit. And then when we realize that Christ loves us, even though he knows all about us, when we realize that, then we understand something of the love of God. Now, I know that people spend their time criticizing God because of the Old Testament, which I believe is inspired and which I believe is an object lesson for us, so we can understand how God loves the people who love him but hates the people who reject him. And he looks at it both individually and nationally in the Old Testament. But when I come to the New Testament, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see the Lord Jesus Christ, I see one who always did good. Can you imagine having a friend like that, who always did good, who healed the lepers, who raised the dead, who was willing to put away the sicknesses of the people around him, who fed the multitudes, who was able to bring Peter out of a ship to walk on water? I mean, when we look at all of the things that the Lord did, we have to admit that there is no one else like this. I sometimes think of that song that we sing in gospel meetings, where it says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. And I want to tell you, friend, that if you don't know my Savior, you don't know the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one who will be loyal in no matter, in all circumstances. And if there is a distance between you and God, that distance is because of your attitude. It's not because of God's attitude. I know it's trite to quote John 3:16 when we think of Valentine's Day and the love of God, but friend, God did love the world, and that love was demonstrated in the giving of his Son, and you're part of that world that God loved. Everyone, even the darkest criminals, even the people that we want to avoid because we feel they'll harm us, those people are people that are loved by God, and they could be saved. And I often think about how that there's people that we think are the embodiment of Satan, who may have gotten saved late in life and will be in heaven. And those of us who are kind of self-righteous and think that we deserve to be in heaven just simply because we're good enough to be there, wouldn't it be something if we miss out? And people who are really doing things that in my mind are satanic, wouldn't it be something if they come to repentance at the end of their life and actually go to heaven? Think of it. There were two thieves beside the Lord on the cross. Both of those thieves had been were dying because they had harmed society, and one of them said, "We indeed justly, because we receive the due reward of our deeds." The other one, he rebelled against God even as he was dying. But the thief who had done wrong and was dying got saved in the 11th hour, and he's in heaven. And a man like that could be in heaven. And some of us who have tried to do good all through our lives and have rejected the fact that we needed a sacrifice for our sins, that we needed a way to be reconciled to God, we could miss out on it. And I don't want anyone to wake up on the other side surprised. I want us to depend on the Bible, and I can give you reason after reason why God has given us, providentially preserved, his word so that we would know how to be saved, so that we could understand the love of God. And so when we look at the love of God, I want to read you another passage from John, not 1 John, but John's Gospel, chapter 15, where the Lord says, "Greater love or charity has no one than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." And the friends are people that he's fond of, close to, his companions, those he trusts. And he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." And I understand that he's talking to the 12 there, maybe more than 12, but at least to the 12 there. And I believe today he's talking to us. Are we his friends? He has shown the sacrificial love of charity to us by dying for us on the cross. When we receive him, we become his close companions. We have an intimate relationship with him. And friend, that's what I want you to enjoy as we think about the Valentine greeting that God gave us from the cross. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon anything that has been of thyself this morning. Bless our listeners. We thank thee for thy love, in our Savior's name. Amen.